Good morning. So today we are continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer. Last week, Les spoke about God's character and how that relates to his relationship with us as a father. And today we're going to be looking at Hallowed Be Your Name. At a church conference in the US, this question was asked, and it's up there. The question is, since God is slow to anger and patient, then why, when man first sinned, was his wrath and punishment so severe and long-lasting? I'll get you to think about that. I will not answer the question, but I'll let someone much better than me do that.
God is slow to anger and patient. Excuse me. Since God is slow to anger. We're always learning. Since God is slow to anger and patient, then why, when man first sinned, was his wrath and punishment so severe and long-lasting?
Time out. Didn't we just have that question a second ago?
We did.
Yeah,
it's a little nuance.
That God's punishment for Adam was so severe. This creature from the dirt defied the everlasting holy God. After that, God had said, the day that you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. And instead of dying, Thanatos, that day, he lived another day and was clothed in his nakedness by pure grace, and had the consequences of a curse applied for quite some time, but the worst curse would come upon the one who seduced him, whose head would be crushed by the seed of the woman. And the punishment was too severe? What's wrong with you people? I'm serious. I mean, this is what's wrong with the Christian church today. We don't know who God is. And we don't know who we are. The question is, why wasn't it infinitely more severe? If we have any understanding of our sin and any understanding of who God is, that's the question, isn't it?
What does the Bible say? Here's a sample of how the Bible describes God, or to put it in other words, here's a sample of how God has revealed himself to us through his word. I'm going to read a few scriptures. And my holy name I will make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let my holy name be profaned anymore. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. And I will vindicate the holiness of my name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. See, we live in a time where man rules supreme, or so he thinks, where humans think very highly of themselves, and self-esteem and pride are considered to be virtues in this humanistic society. But the world has always been like that. The unfortunate part is that a big part of this kind of thinking has infiltrated the church. We have false teachers who preach man-glorifying sermons and write pride-inflating books and proclaim a man-centered false gospel. Itching ears everywhere, aching to be scratched. And what I just described from the man-glorifying, pride-inflating, man-centeredness is basically the recipe to many best-selling, supposedly Christian books. But the gospel is God-centered. The scriptures are about God and his glory and his holiness. And we must humble ourselves before a holy God, knowing that apart from his mercy and his grace, we are justly deserving wrath and eternal condemnation. This holy God calls us to himself, and he allows us to call him Father. This holy God has throughout the scriptures declared to his people that he is holy, and he must be treated as holy, especially by the people who are called by his name. The biblical narrative, the story throughout the Bible, is the story of God. It's all about him. It's all about his glory. God, time and time again, declared to Israel that he has saved them for his name's sake, that he has blessed them for his name's sake, and he would punish them because they are dishonoring his name. He declared to his enemies that he would destroy them and show his power so that his name will be known throughout the earth. And here's Jesus, God the Son, God in human flesh, teaching us how to pray. And the first thing that he instructs us to do after teaching us to call God Father is to ask for God's name to be made holy. Hallowed be your name. In light of the biblical narrative, we shouldn't be surprised that this is the first petition. In light of the few verses that I've read, this shouldn't surprise us. But we kind of are surprised that this is the first petition. And today I really want us to feel the importance of this. I want us to see the magnitude of this petition in light of the scriptures as a whole. Throughout the scriptures, God's name is just another way of him referring to himself. God's name represents who he is. So when we are asking for God's name to be made holy, we are basically asking that God would be honored, that God would be glorified, that God would be sanctified. I know that at first sight, hallowed be your name may sound like praise. Some may think that when they say hallowed be your name, they think that they are declaring that God's name is holy and that he is treated as holy throughout the earth. But it's actually a petition. Jesus is basically teaching us to pray and ask for God's name to be made holy. He's teaching us to pray that God himself is sanctified. That means set apart in our lives and in this world as he is in heaven. It's not just about his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but it's also that he himself may be sanctified and recognized as holy here on earth, just as he is in heaven. Jesus is teaching us to have God-centered prayers. Again, I don't want this to escape us. The first petition that Jesus wants us to pray for has nothing to do with our needs, with our wants. But just like the next couple of petitions in the Lord's Prayer, this has everything to do with God and His will. It is God's will that His name is made holy and recognized as holy throughout the whole earth. That's His will. Is the glorifying of God's name the first thing we think about when we pray? I have to admit that it's not the first thing that I think about when I pray. And very few people today would list the hallowing of the name of God as a priority in their prayer. It almost seems strange to our thinking to place so much emphasis on the appropriate treatment of God. One of the things that we need to realize from this is that God's name is not being honored. God's name is not being sanctified. And God's name is not being glorified in society. Remember that Israel didn't do this. They didn't glorify God. The Jews at the time of Jesus didn't do this. They didn't honor God. The question is, do we? Is God's name being honored in the wider church? Is God's name being honored at our church, in our Bible studies, in our homes, in our lives? Do we really care that God is dishonored every day? How would we feel if we were dishonored every day? See, God wants us to take our attention off of ourselves and place it where it should be placed, on Himself, on His will, and on His glory. Christianity is God-centered. It's God-centered from its smallest element, an element like prayer, to its most amazing doctrine, like the doctrine of salvation by grace alone, for example. Christianity is God-centered. Jesus is teaching us to have God-centered prayers. And when we have these God-centered prayers, we can have a God-glorifying life. It all starts with God. It all flows from God. Because when we have those God-centered prayers, we're not thinking about ourselves. We are thinking about God as of first importance, not us. Jesus is teaching us that we should pray out of deep awareness that God's name is not honored. Or at least it's honored far too little. And it should be honored way more than what it is. We should pray with God's glory as our highest aim. The honor and esteem of God's name is to be the great and ultimate goal of all our praying. And ultimately, this should be the goal of our Christian life. To pray for God's name to be honored is to pray like the Apostle Paul prayed. Read his epistles and see how he prays. To pray for God's name to be honored is to pray like Jesus prayed. When he said, glorify your name. When he said, your will be done. The aim of our prayers is not ultimately to be our immediate material and physical comfort. But rather it should be that more and more people everywhere would hold God in honor. And there would be more and more of those people every day. Keeping the holiness of God and His name at the forefront of our thinking cannot help but cause us to have a proper view of ourselves as we come before Him. We see ourselves as totally unworthy of His grace, apart from the works of Christ. Much of the problem of prayer in our time is the lack of reverence. Actually, when you think about it, much of the problems of false teaching in the church stems from the lack of reverence and lack of awe of a holy God and lack of the fear of God. Too many churches in the world are preaching that God is nothing more than a cosmic genie and He is at our command, and that coming to God in prayer is like rubbing a lamp and making a wish. This is the message of self-esteem. This is the message of the prosperity gospel. This is the message of the word of faith, the people that say you can name things and claim them and declare them to be. See, they wrestle with verses like John 14:14, where it says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But they don't realize that their foundation for prayer is wrong. Rather than the foundation being hallowed be your name, the foundation becomes hallowed be my name, hallowed be my kingdom, hallowed be my glory. It's upside down. Such ideas are absolutely foreign to the biblical doctrine of prayer. Such ideas are absolutely foreign to the Bible in general. True Christian prayer is an act of deep reverence, an act of worship as we approach the throne of the Holy God of the universe, the Creator of heaven and earth. So in conclusion, how do we honor God? How do we put into practice the hallowing of God's name? Allow me to suggest three things. First, when we pray, let us pray with God's name and glory at the forefront of our thinking. That means when we pray, we need to ask ourselves, are my requests in prayer bringing honor and glory to God? Or am I just praying for my own glory? Second, this sounds easy. Read your Bible. God has revealed himself through the scriptures. Honor these scriptures by obeying these scriptures. Reading our Bible and understanding what God is saying will shape our prayers. And these prayers will flow into a life of obedience to the written word, the revealed word. When we pray that God's name be sanctified as a first priority, we will not place ourselves in a place of judgment over the Bible as we read it, but we will place ourselves in a place of security under the Bible, under the scriptures, as we live a life of obedience to the voice of God in these scriptures. And third, believe and preach the gospel. Make sure that you believe the correct gospel, the true gospel, the pure gospel. If it's a man-centered gospel, then it's a false gospel. If it's a God-glorifying, God-centered gospel, then it's the true gospel. It's the gospel of our Father. He is the one who initiated that gospel. It's his gospel. It's a gospel that brings glory to God, not to man. It's a gospel that treats God as holy and show him to be holy to the world. Hallowed be your name is a petition. And just as God has entrusted us with his gospel, he's asking us to pray that his name may be honored and recognized as holy in this world. And if we are truly praying for this to happen, we must make sure that we live like the glory of God is important to us. Let's pray. Father God, hallowed be your name. Lord God, as much as we understand of this, I pray that you would help us to have a deeper understanding of what that means. And I pray that as we go on from here, I pray that you would, by the power of your Spirit, change the way we pray so that we would have God-centered prayers, so that we would truly sanctify and hallow and glorify your name in our prayers, in our lives, in the gospel that we share, in the gospel that we believe. I pray that we would hallow your name as we read your scriptures and truly believe them and submit to your voice in them. Amen.